And so I want to spend a few minutes expounding on that a little further and talking about what God tells us about the glory of the church. And of course, you can't do that without jumping right into Ephesians. And so the scripture reading this morning was from Ephesians. We will spend a few minutes together today really just walking through the book of Ephesians and talking about the nature and the purpose of the church. And I'll skip right to the end before we go through it. I want you to think about what God is preparing you for. God is in the middle of transforming you into something really great for Him. And one of the key ways that He does that is through this church that He's given to us. This set of relationships that we all have together that He uses to build you into a powerful vehicle of service. And that's really what Ephesians talks about. So keep that in mind as we walk through some of the passages that I'll read for you as we go through it this morning. In verses 3 through 12, which were read for us, we'll go over those again briefly. I want you to stop for a moment as we read those and really focus on how much Jesus has given you. And so that's where Paul starts the book. Before we get to the us part of that, he starts with this amazing salvation we have because of God's incredible plan. Notice what he says about what Jesus has given us, or what we have through Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So he chose us before time began, that we might be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us for adoption. We are God's children, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption. We've been bought back with the price of the blood of Jesus through the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. We have this hope, this promise of what's to come, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. What a marvelous start to a letter for a church to receive. That Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, has given us every spiritual blessing, that we have an inheritance because we are adopted as God's children, and that we're really built to be to the praise of his glory. And I think my phone is causing little beepings here. And that was going to be my notes, which means I'm even more off script now, so look out. So he starts the letter with that. I want to skip ahead a few verses now to verses 18 through 23 of chapter 1, as he starts now to transition towards this glorious church that he's given to us. In verse 18 it says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so I want to pause there for a moment, again, as we start to transition towards our role in this great plan that God has for us. So God has given you everything. God has given you his Son. God has adopted you as his children. God, it says in Ephesians 1, has given you every spiritual blessing. And God, in these verses, 18 through 23, has great power to do marvelous things. And the way he chooses to manifest his power is, in large part, through the church. It is described as the body of Jesus Christ. And we talk about that term a lot. You know, we understand this idea of a body. stop and think about what that metaphor is actually saying. There is Jesus Christ, the head, the one who's giving the direction. The body is what carries that out, right? And I'm saying things that are obvious to you, but start to think about this idea of the church as the tool of Jesus to work for God, to the praise of his glory, as it says here in Ephesians. Jesus is our head. Jesus provides our direction, but we are the body. We are the tool. We are the way by which God's glory is manifested on this earth. And so he's put us in this great position of opportunity for us, but also responsibility. We are the body of Jesus. We are the ones that bring God's glory onto this earth. And so, what we're here for this morning, and what you meet and work on, hopefully very, very often, is towards that end. And I say that to say, I know that sometimes, you know, for me, for I think a lot of us as Christians, we will start to think about the church as a place that I go so that I can sort of get a personal fulfillment out of that and become closer me to God, right? And, you know, there's a great blessing that comes with that, and I don't want to say that that's not true, but it's much broader than that, isn't it? The church is a body. It's an organism. It's a living thing with Jesus as our head that's meant for the purpose of, again, bringing God's glory into the world, of serving. And so, again, we'll continue to stress that theme as we go through things. Let's skip ahead a bit now to chapter 2. And so as we go through chapter 2, Paul continues the discussion by talking about the fact that really we are saved through grace. And let's read a few verses again, beginning perhaps in verse 18 of now chapter 2. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, and you think especially of a Gentile audience here who would see themselves as alienated from God, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God, by the Spirit. And so he's now changed the metaphor a bit, but the idea is exactly the same. He's gone from the idea of a body to one of a temple, of God's dwelling place, which is, again, us as the church. The Spirit dwelt in the temple, right? The Spirit dwells in us today in much the same way. And so let's continue to move on now into chapter 3. And again, I want to skip towards the end of the chapter here a bit. Towards the beginning of chapter 3, Paul is talking about the mystery that was revealed through him. He was talking about the fact that he personally had been made a minister of this gospel that was brought about by God's grace, verse 7. And as he discusses the mystery, he sort of ends the first half of chapter 3 with his summary of, again, this whole idea of the greatness of this plan of salvation and the greatness of the church. And he says, beginning in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. God wants you to be strengthened through the Holy Spirit that is inside of you, so that Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now notice verse 20, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Aren't those amazing verses? God is working inside of you with all of the power of God to make you a great servant of his. And he can do more inside of you than anything that you could ask for He can do more in you than you, which you could even imagine, right? And he is doing that in you right now. And he's doing that for his glory. And he's doing that in large part, again, through this church that we have. This group of people working together in this community, this area, is manifesting the power and the glory of God for all that it is. And that's an incredible thing to think about, isn't it? It's a blessing, and it just makes you think, boy, there's so much that I want to do for God, and then we start to think to ourselves, now how do I do that? Right? So it's great to think about, and now you think of all that goes with that, where God says that all of his power is going to work in you to bring about his glory in this church. Wow. That says something about what we're supposed to do here together, right? And not just during this time here in the morning assembly, right? All the time, every day, part of each other's lives. And so that transitions now into chapter 4. Like a lot of Paul's epistles, of course, there's sort of a what we call kind of a doctrinal half and then sort of the application half. The first three chapters of Ephesians set up this idea of God's glory in the church. And now chapter 4, he gets into, well, what does that mean? Practically speaking, how do we bring about God's glory in the church? And so we'll go right into chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, given everything that we said in chapters 1 through 3, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Which is a really high bar, right? He urges you to walk according to this calling with which you've been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then these verses are very familiar, beginning in verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So he starts with this idea of unity. And that's going to be a theme throughout much of chapter 4. And so again, you go back to this metaphor of the body of Christ, right? We are Christ's body collectively. All of us together. We are God's church. We are God's temple. We are God's vehicle for bringing his glory into this world. And so we are all in this together. And so God urges us here to work together as truly one. There's one Father, there's one Son, there's one Spirit, there's one church. We are all God's church here together. And so, within that spirit of unity, the complication is that we're one, but we're all very different. And we all bring different things. But God is going to talk about the blessing of that here throughout the rest of chapter 4. And he begins that again in verse 7. Grace is given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so I want to skip down now, and this really to me is the key section that I want to focus on in our last few minutes this morning, beginning in verse 11. And perhaps these verses are familiar to you, but this gets down to the heart of what we're trying to do here together. And again, I want to step back for just a moment before we read those. A lot of times, again, I don't want to project on you what I've thought about myself in the past, but one can think about service to God as being, I'm going to go on Sunday morning, I'm going to make sure that I'm always in attendance, and I'm going to make sure I take the Lord's Supper, and then I'm going to leave and go off and do my own thing, and I'm going to try very hard to not do any bad things and to do more good things, and because that's what's going to get me into heaven, right? And it's all kind of about what I'm doing between me and God, and you're all kind of here, but if this is really about you're going to encourage me and I'm going to run off and do my thing, right? This view of the church is very, very different than that. And so I want you to think about this contrast in chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, as he talks about what we're trying to do here together. Verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we'll pause there for a second and discuss that, and then we'll make sure and capture the rest of this section. Verse 11 gives us different roles within the church at this higher level of sort of the initial bringing of the gospel and teaching. I would suggest, we don't have time for it this morning, but if you went to Romans chapter 12, if you went to 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, similar passages that talk about the fact that we all have different gifts that we bring. Here there's these gifts of the initial revelation and teaching, but so many other gifts go with that that are all towards the same purpose. So I'm going to broaden the point a little bit from what's mentioned here, because I think that's captured in other scriptures. God has given different people with different roles. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Okay? Everybody got that? The reason that we all come into this assembly, the reason that we all work together with all kinds of different strengths, abilities, talents, is to equip each other for the work of service. That's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of all of us being here together. And so, I know some of you better than others. Again, it's been 20 years for me. You know yourselves. We all have things that we contribute to the group. We all have things that God has given us as talents to use for Him. He gives us those things because He is wanting you to train everybody else here to serve. That's the whole point. That's the way that we bring God's glory to this world. And so this is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. You're building up each other until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Your role, my role as Christians together, is to help each and every one of us get up to the stature of Jesus Christ, to the level and example of service and of glory that we see in Jesus Christ. That's your role. And so, think about what that means. Think about how you treat each other. Think about how your relationships develop differently if you're really thinking, my job is to get every one of you up to the stature and fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, are we all going to get there? Are we all going to get to the point where on this earth we're all to the level of Jesus? No. No. Someday with God in heaven we'll be perfected, right? But here and now, we're moving in that direction. And that sense of, that kind of a goal, that kind of a love for everybody in this building, I think really changes the way that we think about how we want to interact, how we want to treat each other, how we choose to spend moments away from this building as we go out and start this week together. And again, I hope that's not overly obvious to you, but for me, as I've sort of been with a lot of different groups over the years and tried to work on my own spiritual development, that's been a big thing for me, is to think about this idea of it's really all about that service for each other, right? So, verse 14 continues the thought, so we're reaching for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, back to our body metaphor, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Isn't that a beautiful thought? To just think about the fact that when that body is working together the way that it's supposed to, the body grows. The body builds itself up. The body becomes more of what Jesus wants it to be. It becomes more like Jesus. And I know you've all seen that together and how you've grown. We've seen it in a lot of different places. When the body is working to build itself up, it's a glorious thing for God. It's a glorious thing for Jesus Christ. And so again, let me step back again and sort of run through the chapters, and then I'll come back and make a couple of brief comments in closing in terms of you know, what I think this means practically for me, and hopefully for you. I want you to observe, we're not going to be able to read through a lot of it, the practical applications that Paul gets into, last half of chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, I want you to read them on your own and notice how dominant the theme is of serving each other. You know, a lot of times we think about the commandments of God, and what our mind wants to go to again is sort of kind of a little bit of a Ten Commandments approach, a little bit almost to things that I need to not do or not do, right? The themes that Paul jumps into here almost exclusively are about how we serve each other, whether that's parents and children, whether that's a slave and a master, you know, whether that's your neighbor, whatever it is, so much in this epistle, so much in Romans 12 through 14, so much in the back half of every one of Paul's epistles, the Sermon on the Mount, there is such a heavy theme on you growing for the point of serving, for the point of helping somebody else, for the point of building up the body in this case. And so, again, I just think it speaks so much to what our purpose is here together. It ends with some beautiful thoughts in chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God that I'm not going to jump into in too much detail because we're going to run too short on time, I think. So for the working of the church, what does that mean? I've already pounded on a lot of these themes. I know that, I'll bring up one example. I know that at the moment that you are looking for an evangelist, you're between evangelists. We're in the similar situation where we are in Fort Wayne, Indiana at the moment. I want to say this in the right way. I told this to Wally earlier. I think it's great. And, you know, I know that it is a great thing to have an evangelist, and my prayers are for you that you will find the person that you want in that. I hope the men in particular are taking advantage of a great opportunity in the meantime to jump in, pitch in terms of teaching and preaching. And I know that you are. That's been a marvelous thing to watch in Fort Wayne, to see a bunch of men who weren't as involved get more involved. And if you're in that situation as a man who has not jumped in to help, and you're nervous about doing that, and you say, well, I couldn't possibly because I've never done that before, or I'm not a good speaker, or I don't know the Bible as perfectly as Wally, you know, for example. Don't think that way. That's not the point at all. The point is, this is your opportunity to jump in and not only develop yourself, but to serve somebody else in that capacity. And so that's one application that jumps immediately to mind. The other, again, I know that this congregation is already really great at this, and so I'm telling you things you already know. Become intimately a part of the lives of every single member of the congregation. And that sometimes is really hard to do. I know for this group, more than for Fort Wayne, where I am now, you have more distance to travel. There's a lot of traffic. It's hard to get here for an assembly. Harder still, I know, to find time socially to be with each other. But that is so critical to this idea of building each other up. You can't build up the body. You can't help another Christian here if you don't know them, if you don't really know them in a way that you're not going to get here at an assembly time. And so really make a point of trying to do that, and we're trying to do that ourselves, certainly, in Fort Wayne as well. And I think that means not only getting to know the ones that you like, of course, and getting to know the ones that are like you and close to you, get to know those ones that aren't like you, that are more different than you, that are going through struggles that you have a harder time connecting with because you're different. Isn't that so critical? And so think about that again as your chance to grow, but also your responsibility that Jesus gives you to build up this body. Become a part of each other. Become closer as a true body. And so, you know, again, I think as you find that you do that more and more, and you've already found it here yourselves, it is such a glorious blessing and becomes a blessing, again, not just for you, and then not just for the body here, but that's what makes us such a powerful light in the community. And again, you've seen that difference as well. For congregations that get together and meet on a Sunday and they're gone and they're not a body, their ability to shine as a light is so limited compared to that group that truly is a united body for Jesus Christ. And that, and as with so many congregations, we want so much to share the gospel, and sometimes we struggle to do it. The more we become God's true body, the more that starts to become naturally. And so lots of other things I think I could share along that line, but I think that hopefully captures the sense of what I wanted to get across for this morning. I really appreciate your attention. I hope that was not too disjointed on short notice. Just some things that have been in our hearts recently in terms of trying to become more effective as God's servants. If you want to go ahead and take out your songbooks and turn to number 190 in a second, we will have the invitation song. Certainly want to take this chance to offer up the gospel message for anybody here that has not submitted to Jesus Christ in baptism. If you haven't and you're thinking about it, boy, read Ephesians 1-3 and read it again and again and again, and just notice how much God has done for you, how much God will do for you, and notice especially this point that God is not trying to make you figure it out all by yourself. So many times the reason to not obey is that you think, I'm not good enough. Well, nobody here is good enough. Nobody who's ever lived other than Jesus himself was ever good enough or ever could be of themselves. God does the heavy lifting. God, through his grace, saves you. God will make you stronger. All you've got to do is submit to him. And so if we can help anybody this morning to become a child of God, to submit to him in baptism, to have forgiveness of sins, please come forward now as we stand and sing.